Our special weekend update here for you from Mike Adams, Brighteon.com. And this is about the 2 million gallons of toxic firefighting water that was used in Ohio is now being, or at least seems like maybe 1.1 million gallons of that is being shipped to Texas to be injected into the ground. And people are freaking out. People are losing their minds over this. But it's all over the news. Let me give you an example here. ABC13.com, Eyewitness News. Here it is. Deer Park facility receiving 2 million gallons of Ohio derailment's toxic runoff, Judge Hidalgo says. And this story from Deer Park, Texas, which I believe is kind of south of Houston, it's in Harris County. The leaders of Harris County entered Thursday, I'm reading from the story, with the understanding that firefighting water runoff from the Ohio train derailment 1,300 miles away is on its way to a Deer Park toxic disposal facility. Now, this is being handled by a company called Texas Molecular. Texas Molecular, okay? Remember that name. Now, the EPA sent a statement to ABC News with the following information. Pay attention. This is just wild. Quote, a total of 1,715,433 gallons of contaminated liquid has been removed from the immediate site of the derailment. So here's the EPA, by the way, now for the first time admitting that there's a contamination issue. Isn't that amazing? This is the same EPA that says, oh, it's safe to go back to your homes. It's safe to drink the water. Now they're saying, well, but there's millions of contaminated gallons of liquid. They continue, quote, of this, essentially 1.1 million gallons have been hauled off-site, with most going to Texas Molecular, a hazardous waste disposal facility in Texas. A smaller amount of waste has been directed to Vickery Environmental in Vickery, Ohio. All right, so let's just call it 1 million gallons because that seems to be close to what they're talking about. 1 million gallons of toxic contaminated liquid that the EPA admits is being shipped from Ohio on the highways to Texas to be injected underground. Now, in Texas, there's an organization, a government group called the TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. And they told ABC 13 that Texas Molecular is, quote, authorized to accept and manage a variety of waste streams, i.e., a whole bunch of toxic chemicals, including vinyl chloride, right, as part of their Resource Conservation and Recovery Act hazardous waste permit and underground injection control permit. You got that? So they drill a deep well, thousands of feet down. They take all this toxic waste and they inject it into the well. Uh-huh. You know, like where well water comes from, you know, where water aquifers are running around down there. Now they say, no, it's deeper than the water aquifers. It's all safe. It's all good. You know, right. Probably the same people that said, take more vaccine boosters, right? Now, this should bring up obvious questions in the minds of anybody paying attention. So, I mean, shall we start with one of the most obvious questions? If you could dispose of vinyl chloride this way, why did you set it on fire in Ohio? Huh? Right? Why did you set it on fire? Well, guess what, folks? I have just completed an interview in studio with Mr. Don Laux, who's the Texas expert on hazardous materials response, incidents, and emergency management, stuff like that. He's also, by the way, a veteran U.S. Air Force fighter pilot, flew the F-111s, and trained a bunch of fighter pilots in the Air Force, and he served in the Texas Guard, I think, for 13 years as a soldier, and so on. So I have him in studio. He's explaining all this to me, and it's mind-blowing what he's explaining about this, because he says, you know, the excuse they had about why they set this stuff on fire in Ohio, East Palestine, the excuse they had was because they didn't want the tanker truck, well, the tanker car, I mean, for the train, to explode and injure people with shrapnel. Okay, now pay attention, because so they drilled holes in the sides of the cars, the tanker cars, and they dumped the liquid out into apparently a ditch, and then they set it on fire. And this is the vinyl chloride. They set it on fire. Folks, if they had already dumped it out of the tanker cars, there was no more risk of shrapnel from any explosion blowing up inside the tanker cars. In other words, once they had the liquid out of the tanker cars, there's no more risk of the explosion that they were afraid of, so they didn't have to set it on fire. And they could have, from the very beginning, they could have called this company Texas Molecular, because as we now have learned, Texas Molecular has a hazardous waste permit that includes vinyl chloride to inject it underground. So there are so many admissions here. Like, number one, yes, vinyl chloride is a hazardous waste product. Number two, there are companies that are licensed to dispose of this stuff, which means they didn't have to set it on fire in Ohio and unleash all these dioxins into the air, which is what you get when you set fire to chlorinated compounds, such as, you know, vinyl chloride and other, the PVC that was in other cars, it was also on fire, polyvinyl chloride. And then we have the question, they put out the fire. Okay, first they set it on fire, and then they put out the fire. And in putting out the fire, they have all this toxic firefighting water waste, which they wouldn't have created if they didn't set it on fire in the first place. Freaking morons. They should have just pumped out the vinyl chloride, sent it to this company. And now, I don't agree with them injecting it underground, but they could have incinerated it at very high temperatures, which would destroy the molecule without creating dioxins, by the way. There's a way to do that at extremely high temperatures. But they set it on fire, and then they used 2 million gallons plus of firefighting water to put out the fires? And now that is 2 million gallons of toxic firefighting water that apparently they're loading onto trucks and driving it to Texas. What the F, man? What happens if one of these trucks has an accident on the highway? Why would you put all these road miles on all this toxic waste when what you should have done is just, not set fire to it in the first place? You wouldn't have 2 million gallons of toxic firefighting water. You could have just dealt with the raw material as it was. See, nothing in the response to this makes any sense at all. Nothing adds up unless they're trying to poison everybody. None of this adds up. And if they had 2 million gallons of water to put out this fire, why didn't they put out the original fire? They had 2 million gallons of water. Or maybe more. Maybe 2 million is only what they captured. They had literally millions of gallons of water to fight the fire. They could have put out the original fire. And then that would have alleviated the whole scenario. They wouldn't have had to dump this in a ditch. They wouldn't have had to set it on fire. And now they wouldn't have all this firefighting wastewater, which they're going to inject underground. And then do they have a map of the entire underground, the subterranean movement of water underground? How do they know where this stuff goes? This could end up all over Texas or in the Gulf of Mexico. Who knows? This could end up in people's wells, or even municipal city water wells, which are pretty deep wells. They're not 4,000 feet. But how do they know that this isn't going to, you know, come up into the aquifers? How do they know? Especially with all the fracking going on out there, there's all kinds of micro earthquakes and tectonic plate shifting going on. How do they know this isn't going to go somewhere else? So you see, at every step in this, they spread the toxins. They started with vinyl chloride on train cars, which was contained. And then they put it in a ditch and set fire to it, which created a toxic cloud plume that's now affected who knows how many thousands of square miles, right? So they spread that in the wind, and then they called it a controlled venting. It's a controlled venting. No, it's not. You're liars. It's an uncontrolled open fire in a pit, basically. of a toxic chemical that produces dioxins. And then now they have the firefighting water sludge, whatever that is, which the EPA says, yeah, that's toxic stuff. You have to have a hazardous waste permit to handle it. Now they're going to inject this underground where it could spread even farther. I mean, are they literally just trying to kill us is the question. They're just trying to kill us. And by the way, over 44,000 animals have now died in the area, according to CBS News. 44,000 animals. Uh-huh. And Texas, by the way, has already received 500,000 gallons. Let's see, up to 30 trucks a day. So who knows how many truckloads this is going to take. I guess we could do the math if we knew the capacity. But they're rolling trucks up and down the highways between Ohio and Texas carrying toxic waste. How is this a good idea? This is insanity. This is just pure insanity. I mean, and I am not being over the top on this. What the hell is going on here? And did you know, by the way, that Harris County, which is the county that it includes Houston, and did you know that there are 10 injection wells that are licensed to receive highly toxic waste? You know, how does that make you feel if you live there? Glad I don't live there, but my goodness. But you know, by the way, I've said this before, because we've tested in our lab, we've tested rainwater, well water, and city water. And I've always said, and some people have been surprised by this, I've always said well water is the most toxic, because we've tested well water and it just lights up everything. It's like, oh my God, there's 300 chemicals in here. Seriously, there are. Well water is the worst water by far. Rainwater is so much cleaner than well water. And now you can kind of see why. I mean, they're literally taking hazardous waste, and for money, they're injecting this toxic substance underground, underneath the aquifers, where it could just bubble up right into your well water aquifer or city water aquifer. And apparently this is all perfectly legal. It's been licensed by the EPA and the state of Texas. But again, back to the beginning, I thought the EPA told us there's no problem in Ohio. Everything's fine. Nothing's toxic. We've done all the tests. Everything's good. Go home. Drink the water. You know, frolic barefoot in the creeks, right? Like the governor. Keep drinking more tap water, you know? And then a couple days later, they're like, oh, and yeah, by the way, we have millions of gallons of highly toxic waste that's so toxic, we have to hire a hazardous waste disposal company that's licensed to inject it into deep wells in the hopes that this stuff will never reach humanity ever again. That's how safe it is. Yeah, if any of you were wondering like how dangerous the situation is in East Palestine, there's your answer. It's so dangerous that they're hoping to bury this for thousands of years. There's your answer. You know, anybody running around, like taking a float trip down the Ohio River, it's all good, man. We're just swimming and drinking beer. Yeah, you're going to be dead, man. You're going to be dead in a matter of months or years, probably from cancer, from genetic damage. You might have chloracne all over your face within a year. You know, this is insane what they're doing. This is insane. But if you ask, well, what should they do with it? They should not set it on fire in the first place. I mean, who does this? This is the problem with having a society run by idiots. They make these idiotic decisions about really dangerous chemicals, and they just keep spreading it and spreading it and spreading it until millions of people are exposed and contaminated. And then, of course, they censor anybody who knows anything about nutrition so that nobody finds out, like, you can grow your own chlorophyll-rich sprouts, and that will eliminate dioxins from your body. You can grow your own sprouts at home, but no, they won't let anybody even find out about sprouting. No, just, you know, suck on the chemicals, man. That's what you're supposed to do. Suck it down. Soak it up. We're going to put it in your water supply. We're going to put it in your aquifers. We're going to drop it on your food. I mean, it's like we're living in a war zone here. We're living in some kind of a chemical war. And of course we are. That's what Michael Yon said to me the other day in studio. He says, we are at war. And the governments of the world have declared war on their people. And by the way, I just had Michael Yon back in studio a few hours ago. with Doc Pete Chambers, who just returned from East Ohio. And he was on the ground talking to people. And people are terrified, he said. They're terrified and they're confused because so much contradictory information, and they know the government's lying to them, but they don't know what's safe or what's not, and the EPA still refuses to test for dioxins. So they just test for things that they know they won't find. You know, we tested for chemical XYZ and the results were zero. Yeah, because chemical XYZ wasn't even ever part of this. Oh, why are you pointing that out? You're a conspiracy theorist. Meanwhile, millions of gallons of toxic water are on their way to Texas. Those of you who live in Houston, you might want to, you know, call your congresswoman. I think, isn't that Sheila Jackson Lee down there in part of that zone? Call your governor. Call Governor Abbott. Say, Abbott, what the heck, man? I mean, talk about an open borders problem. We got illegals flooding in from the south, and then we're taking toxic waste from the northeast. We need some border control here in Texas. I mean, don't we have enough toxic stuff already generated in Houston? Do we have to import toxins now, too? Is that part of the Texas economy? Are you serious? Why are there companies licensed to take toxins from other states and dump it in Texas? Like, is Texas the dumping ground for the Northeast? Give me a break, man. I mean, it'd be so easy to dispose of this 1 million gallons of toxic water coming to Texas. Very simple. Just make the EPA officials drink it because they say it's perfectly safe. Yeah, everything's good. Just go home and drink more stuff. Well, I mean, that's a joke, obviously. Maybe a joke in bad taste, but they did admit that this is toxic, so maybe they won't want to drink this. But they're pretty much telling everybody else to go live in it. You see, live in it. That's the EPA, extreme population assassins, hard at work, taking people out. Man, the more I learn about this, the crazier it gets. If you're listening to this and you're not yet sprouting or doing some kind of chlorophyll, like taking wheatgrass shots or something, sprouting broccoli seeds or alfalfa or, I don't know, eating a lot of salad or something, you got to get chlorophyll in you because that's the research shows that chlorophyll is the way to go, and chlorella is the most dense source of chlorophyll. But chlorella is all going to be sold out soon. There's a supply chain problem with chlorella. So that's why I keep recommending sprouting, because you can make your own chlorophyll. I mean, Mother Nature makes it for you, but you can do it at home. But if you're not doing that right now, you're crazy. Because look at this. Who knows what this is going to do to irrigation water, the river water that's used for crops, the water that comes into cities downstream from the Ohio River. I mean, that includes Cincinnati, and doesn't the river flow kind of southwest, and then it hits the Mississippi, and then it goes south from there? And how many states and how many agricultural regions are going to be irrigating crops with dioxin water, basically, huh? Because all this fallout from the toxic plume, you know, then it rained and snowed, and then that just washes it into the rivers and streams. And it just all goes downstream eventually. Well, I mean, some of it sticks in the soil. Some of it's taken up by animals, which is why, you know, 44,000 dead animals already. A lot more coming, and many uncounted. There's probably millions of dead animals. They just haven't found them. But this is a toxic world, and it's like, again, we're being run by morons who just keep spreading the toxins. So if you're not doing a daily detox, if you're not taking care of your liver, you're crazy. Oh, and by the way, speaking of liver, next week, the liver docuseries class by Jonathan Landsman begins. It begins on Tuesday, and you can register. It's free to watch the entire thing. Go to healthyliverclass.com. Just register there, watch it. Optionally, you can purchase it. You can buy the whole download, or you can buy online access and watch it as many times as you want. But you don't have to. You can watch it for free. And yes, we get some kind of affiliate fee that I honestly have no idea what it is. if you buy something, you don't have to buy anything. Just watch it for free. Just get the education. Listen to my podcast for free. Watch that for free. Grow sprouts for almost free. Almost free. The thing is, the answers here are so available to everybody. Like, everybody can watch HealthyLiverClass.com. Everybody can grow sprouts. Everybody can, you know, eat a salad every once in a while, right? Everybody can do more to detox. And yet, most people will just ignore this and they'll say, oh, why are you getting so overly excited about that, man? I'm just going to have my cheese balls and watch the Super Bowl. And then, you know, they get stage 4 cancer and they're like, what happened? Cause and effect, man. Cause and effect. You've been eating dioxins and not detoxifying. You're like, you could enjoy some cheese, but have some greens with it. That's the balance there. You don't have to be a food Nazi. You don't have to deprive yourself of every piece of meat and cheese and dairy and yogurt that you ever want to eat. You just got to have a whole lot of green with it. Vegetables and vegetable fiber and fruit pectin. Not just greens, but different colors. Eggplant, purple carrots, you know what I'm saying? Purple corn, anthocyanins right there. Very powerful nutrients. You got to have these nutrients, but you got to have a lot of green, a lot of chlorophyll. Which, you know, again, wheatgrass shots, if you can stomach that stuff, which I can't. I don't drink wheatgrass. I can't stand that stuff. I eat chlorella. I blend chlorella and spirulina into my smoothies. And I have kale and I blend kale in. Kale actually tastes pretty neutral to me. And, you know, I do cabbage and what else? Broccoli, you know, and broccoli sprouts. And so I can't stand wheatgrass juice. It tastes like licking the bottom of a lawnmower. That's no interest to me. But do something, folks. Do something to get some green in your diet because we're living in a toxic world. And I've decided, by the way, I'm going to test myself once we get our lab up and running with the dioxin tests, which is a few months out. You know, we'll be up and running with the new dioxin instruments by sometime summer, I hope. I'm wondering, like, what do you sample of a person in order to get dioxins? I'll find the answer. I don't know. Is it your pee? Is it poop? Is it, you have to have like some fat cell sample or something? Like where are dioxins in the body? And I'm guessing they're all over. But when you're eliminating dioxins, I think you're eliminating them both in urine and in bowel movements, by the way, and maybe some in sweat, although I'm not sure. But I'll figure it out. Whatever it is, if I have to test my pee, I'll test the pee. And I guarantee you that I've got dioxins in my body just as you do too. It's not a question of being able to escape these. It's a question of just what is your daily load that's still circulating in your body or that still exists in your body. And if you don't have healthy nutrition and superfoods and greens in your diet, your daily exposure in your body, kind of your daily cumulative load is massive because you're getting it all the time from all the, especially the animal-based food sources that you're eating. And since I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, although I used to be, but I don't do that anymore, I definitely have exposure, and so do you. So this weekend, check out my channel on brightown.com or wherever you're listening to this. We also post on Rumble and BitChute and Band.video and other places. But check out the channel because we're going to have the interview with Michael Yon and Doc Pete Chambers and then another interview with Don Laux. And we're focused on this issue. And it is getting more mysterious and more ridiculous by the day. Because again, now all these contradictions emerge. And let me just summarize them again, and I'll wrap this up. So the contradiction is, one contradiction, the EPA says, oh, it's all safe, nothing's toxic, it's all good, go back in. But then at the same time, boom, millions of gallons of toxic water that have to be disposed of in a licensed hazardous waste disposal system of some kind. There you go. Contradiction number two, you wouldn't have had the toxic firefighting water if you didn't start the fire in the first place. And contradiction number three, you don't need to start the fire because apparently these companies are licensed to dispose of vinyl chloride anyway, so you didn't need to set it on fire to dispose of it. You could have just called this company, Texas Molecular, I guess, to just come get the vinyl chloride. And instead of it being millions of gallons, you know, it would have been just whatever was in the train cars. And contradiction number four, you didn't need to set it on fire in order to eliminate the risk of the train cars exploding, because they had already taken the vinyl chloride out of the train cars. Therefore, this whole risk of an explosion and, quote, shrapnel was already non-existent by the time they set fire to the vinyl chloride. So, again, those are four contradictions I can think of. Nothing adds up. This is beyond incompetence. It's like Twilight Zone at this point. Twilight Zone. We are being lied to, obviously, by all these officials. There's a massive cover-up underway. And still to this day, nobody has tested for dioxins. So what does that tell you? How much you want to bet they've actually done the test internally at the EPA? They probably have the reports and they're looking at them and their eyeballs are exploding. And they're probably saying, oh, we can never let the public see these numbers. Because, massive, massive government payouts for generations if the public sees these numbers. So they will never release those numbers. And the EPA spends a fortune on mass spec instruments, by the way. Seriously. The EPA has all the same instruments that I have, but they have a whole lot more of them. They just buy them with taxpayer money that's printed out of nothing, so they don't actually have to earn the money to buy the instruments. Like, in my lab, we have to earn the money and then use that to buy the instruments, and they're not cheap. You know, not like this setup for the dioxins, easily $500,000, easily. We're talking about a triple quad, tandem mass spec instrument with a gas chromatography interface, plus everything that goes with that, the venting and the electrical site prep and everything. It's over $500,000. That EPA is just like, oh, that's nothing. We'll take 10 of them, but then they don't use them for the public. They don't run the test that the public needs to see. They cover up the toxins because the EPA is a criminal front for the chemical industry. And they've been that way for decades. That's what the EPA really is. They don't care about the environment. They sacrifice the environment to protect the profits of big corporations. That's the way they operate, period. There's no debate about that. Not among any intellectually honest person. So that's what the EPA is. This is why they need World War III, folks, because they have to cover this up and a lot of other things before babies start being born with no arms or legs in Ohio. They have to cover this up before all the deformities become obvious. Before all the chloracne kicks in. They're going to have to just, hide people and deperson people, kind of like they do with the people who died suddenly from the vaccines, and then you never hear about them again, and they're gone, like Tiffany Dover, right? Whatever happened to Tiffany Dover? Well, she vanished after passing out, after taking a vaccine on live television, passed out, and a lot of people thought she died. And we're told, no, she's perfectly fine, right? And you're like, well, where is she? Oh, she just doesn't want publicity. Well, why doesn't she say hello? What doesn't she say, I'm alive and well, thank you very much? Nothing from Tiffany Dover. She's gone, man. You're never supposed to even mention the name. Just bringing up the name, you're called a conspiracy theorist. But that was a woman. That was a living, I think she was a nurse, I think. She worked at a hospital, and she was out there pimping the vaccine like, this is great, everybody should take it. I just took one, and then plunk, face plant on live television. So what did they have to do? They had to erase her from history. Oh, like, she doesn't even exist anymore. Oh, social media is all gone. Yeah, they erase people when outcomes don't match the narrative. And just like after every one of these catastrophes, what do they do? They erase the evidence. If you think about it, as they're injecting this million gallons of toxic water deep underground, what are they also doing? They're hiding the evidence. They're burying the evidence. You're never going to have access to that water ever again. It's gone. It's 4,000 feet down. Or it's been dispersed through all the aquifers. You'll never have a pure test again. How convenient. It's kind of like after 9/11. What do they do? They come in and clear out all the, the evidence of explosive charges or whatever happened there. Just clear it out. They should have roped it off, called it a crime scene, and conducted an investigation. But they didn't do that. No, did they? They bulldozed everything, trucked everything out of there. Oh, nothing to see here. Just believe us. It was terrorists. War on terror, Now the war's on us. And we know who the terrorists are. They're the ones who keep blowing stuff up. And they're the ones who keep releasing bioweapons. Right? That's who the terrorists are. Pretty obvious at this point. So get yourself some greens growing. Springtime is almost here. Start planting. Grow some good green stuff. I might as well mention arkseedkits.com. A-R-K. Arkseedkits.com. That's our sponsor in the area of seeds. And I just interviewed the founder 2 days ago. That interview is going to run, I think, Monday. You'll want to check that out. Her name's Alex, by the way. And it's a really good interview. ArkSeedKits.com. Discount code Ranger gets you 10%. Is it 10%? I think it gives you 10% off everything except the Big Prepper special, which is already discounted. But whatever. Or get seeds from your friends, you know? Get seeds. Like, make sure they're heirloom, non-GMO, non-hybrid seeds, folks. But get yourself some seeds or do some sprouting. Grow some greens, because I assure you, the chemical attack waves on us have only just begun. There's way more coming, because the mass murdering globalists who are trying to commit planetary level extinction / genocide / annihilation, they're just getting warmed up. They've got a lot more coming, and we are living in a war zone. In fact, all of planet Earth now at this point, at least everywhere where there are humans living, is an active war zone. So keep that in mind and get prepared. Thanks for listening. Check out my other interviews coming out this weekend. Lots more to learn. Take care.